Dear friends, we gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation.
May we always dwell in this land with respect and peace.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
May his grace and peace be with you.
May he fill our hearts with joy.
May God be with you.
O
God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make us perfect in every good work to do your will, and work in us that which is well-pleasing in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the book of Acts. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when they arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Lecture de l'Apocalypse de Saint Jean. Après cela, je vis. C'était une foule immense que nul ne pouvait dénombrer de toute nation, tribu, peuple et langue. Ils se tenaient debout devant le trône et devant l'agneau, vêtus de robes blanches et des paumes à la main. Ils proclamaient à haute voix, « Le salut est à notre Dieu qui siège sur le trône et à l'agneau. » Et tous les anges rassemblés autour du trône, des anciens et des quatre animaux, tombèrent devant le trône, face contre terre, et adorèrent Dieu. Ils disaient « Amen, louange, gloire, sagesse, action de grâce, honneur, puissance et force à notre Dieu pour les siècles des siècles. Amen. » L'un des anciens prit alors la parole et me dit, « Ces gens vêtus de robes blanches, qui sont-ils et d'où sont-ils venus? » Je lui répondis, « Seigneur, tu le sais. » Il me dit, « Ils viennent de la grande épreuve. Ils ont lavé leurs robes et les ont blanchies dans le sang de l'agneau. C'est pourquoi ils se tiennent devant le trône de Dieu et lui rendent un culte jour et nuit dans son temple. Et celui qui siège sur le trône les arbitrera sous sa tente. Ils n'auront plus faim, ils n'auront plus soif, le soleil et les feux ne les frapperont plus, car l'agneau qui se tient au milieu du trône sera leur berger. Il les conduira vers des sources d'eau vive, et Dieu essuiera toute larme de leurs yeux. » Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. God be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my name's Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe me because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch him out of my hand. My Father, in regard to what he has given me, is greater than all else, and no one can snatch him out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." 2 moons had passed since the festival of shelters, and it was now time for the people to celebrate the Feast of Dedication in the Village of Peace, also called Jerusalem. This festival was to remember the time when the Great Spirit's lodge was cleaned after it had been made ceremonially unclean by an unruly evil ruler. It was winter, and the Creator sets free, that is Jesus, was walking near the sacred lodge under the entryway, named after the great chief stands in peace, that is Solomon. The tribal leaders came to him and said, "How long will you make us wait? If you are the chosen one, then tell us." "I have already told you who I am," he said to them, "but you did not believe me. The things I do, representing my Father, speak the truth about me. As I told you before, you do not trust me because you are not my sheep. I know who my sheep are, for they know my voice and go where I lead them. My gift to them is the life of the world to come, full of beauty and harmony, and they will never fade away or come to a bad end. My Father gave them to me because no one can take them from me, because no one is greater than my Father. My sheep are safe in his hands, for I and my Father are one." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
May I speak to you in the name of the Creator who creates through us in ways infinite and more than we could imagine. Amen. There is a window that goes with the reading today. It's right over here, Jesus with the little lamb in his arms. That window comes up on every fourth Sunday of Easter with this reading. It's the same passage from John, split out over our 3-year cycle, a chunk each year. And I always feel cheated in the third year, that is this one, because the references to Jesus as the shepherd are a little less pronounced. And I love the image. But I wonder if we might also feel cheated that the Good Shepherd window is upstaged by such riotous color all over the walls that you might not even know it was there. It's been this way for 2.5 weeks for the 46th annual Art Credo, and it hasn't just been art on the walls, it's been poetry and music as well. And you may wonder, why does a church do such things? Are they peripheral to our proclamation of the risen Christ, or are they central? I've had a long time to think about the place of the arts in worship, because before coming to St. John's, I served at a church in Toronto that had the Group of Seven all painted in murals all around the ceiling. It's the church that burned down a year ago, and I found that being in that setting surrounded by art, we needed to talk a lot about how important art was. One of the questions was, does the subject matter have to be Jesus for it to be religious art? And it came up as in a way as a conflict, because surrounded as we were by all these paintings, artists from the neighborhood said, you know, this would be a great place for installation art. And so we said, all right, well, we'll try that. And one of the artists placed a wheat field over a big circle of the pews. It was wheat stalks all mounted on boards. You couldn't see the boards. It looked like there was Saskatchewan right in the middle of our church. And another artist specialized in inflatable art. So he had four horses, like the four horses of the apocalypse. And he had made them out of parachute material. He showed me his process. His process was to mold the shape of the rising horse in clay, cover it with paper mache, and then cut the paper mache off in relatively flat pieces, and then use his computer to expand the scale of those flat pieces, and then sew them out of parachute material. So the basement of the church, which was a dirt floor, I said, you can't call it a basement. We have to call it a crypt. That will have more atmosphere for an art show. So we created these four horses, these four white horses, and they were attached to an air pump, and they would rise up out of the dirt. And then they would sink back down, and they would rise up out of the dirt. And many of us loved it. Other people said, this is a place of religious art. Religious art has Jesus in it. Yeah, you know, sometimes fights happen among religious people, right? We care about our subject matter. Is it true? Well, let me think about this. This is religious art. What about this one over here with the canoe? Is it religious art? I have landed on the side that it's all religious art. Because, you know, if you think of us as creating because God is a creator. When God created the elephant, that was religious art. When God sculpted the first human out of clay, that was religious art. Or if you think that's, you know, you don't do the Bible in a literal way, so, you know, those aren't the ones you want to use. When the first molecules of amino acids reproduced themselves, that was religious art. It's all religious. God is the creator of all of it, which makes all of this, everything you see, religious art. Those group of seven artists at St. Anne's, it's all burned down now, so it's all gone, but those group of seven artists were not particularly religious people. Their subject matter was Jesus, but they were not religious people. Yet while they were painting, they were imitating the Creator, as were the artists who read their poetry on Thursday night, and the young musicians who came and sang here, and the people who did the paint along with their putty knives, imitating the Creator. So that's about making art. Well, what about just appreciating art? Is that any different? I think you can go to the National Gallery. This is what I do. I go to the National Gallery, and if I feel like there's a painting that speaks to me, I'm going to sit down and just take it in for a while. And I might not even need to look at anything else. I have had my moment. It was a religious moment. Some people who love poetry, they do that too. They read until they come to the poem that speaks to them, and then they're just there with the poem. And that's a religious experience. I put in the newsletter this week that I was away on retreat and a place on the campus of Harvard University, and I went to the Harvard Memorial Church, and the opening hymn was All People That on Earth Do Dwell. And as the organ started, I felt like I was going to sob. I felt like I couldn't sing. So I just stood there and had my religious experience of standing during All People That Do on Earth Do Dwell. So is the Good Shepherd window really upstaged? Does that even matter? People have been here in this church for 2.5 weeks having a religious experience, just like us over 110 years having a religious experience in this space. These kinds of experiences are universal. You don't have to belong to a religion to have them. You may even disavow religion, and still in your moment you are lost in wonder, love, and praise. So the church does have something to offer as a multi-sensory experience of the arts. It's inclusive. We don't own what is going on in your head or your heart. That's yours. That is for you and between you and your named Creator, or that unnamed that may one day be known to you as the Creator. But religious art proposes in the church to name that inner transformation you feel as God. As God in dialogue with you. So considering this window as a religious experience, I feel cheated by the text because it's so short, but there's that lamb. And I have to say, I didn't grow up with sheep. I have no emotional affinity to sheep. And even our scriptures don't speak in one voice. Jesus is the Good Shepherd on this fourth Sunday of Easter because we've moved away from the resurrection appearances. We ran out of them. We used them all on the first three Sundays of Easter. Now we're into metaphors that help us meet the risen Christ. The sheep is a good one. Jesus as the Good Shepherd is that metaphor. Yet when we come to that reading from Revelation, it's completely different. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the water of life. So there you got a lamb holding a sheep, or a sheep holding a lamb. The metaphors mix. As you heard it in French, car l'agneau qui se tient au milieu du trône sera leur berger. the Lamb will be the shepherd. Ultimately, all these references we've heard go back to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is God. God is our shepherd, and Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd. Jesus is saying, I'm God. Jesus is making a bold claim that he's God. Now, we thought Thomas made a bold claim when he said, unless I touch the holes where his wounds were, I won't believe. And he says, my Lord and my God. Now we've gone even further. Jesus is making that claim. So you can do with that what you want. I mean, in church, you're on your own, and what's going on in your head and in your heart is yours. But our subject matter, when we do art here, is making that claim. I actually don't like the word claim. I prefer that our subject matter makes a humble proposal that when you feel wonder, love, and praise rising up in you for whatever art you're doing, it is the Creator seeking to be in dialogue with your deepest self. It is the Good Shepherd. It is Jesus inviting you into real conversation. So bring on the art of all kinds. Go to the NAC as your duty. Go to the National Gallery on the free night, or even pay to go, and find that painting that you're going to sit and contemplate. Sit in front of your laptop and bang out that poem that is working its way in verse in your heart. We are always tapping into the universal Creator by imitating that creation. And here in the church, that process is a proposal that we name our dialogue partner as the God of love. Amen.
Thank you. Redeemer God, we live in a world of now and not yet, of promises accomplished, seen, and glimpsed, but not yet fully received. Because of this, the world when seen through only human eyes can seem overwhelming, disheartening, and contradictory. But God, we thank you that what our eyes can see is not all there is. You tell us your kingdom is not of this world, that death and sin don't hold us, and we believe you. Help us, when we look at the world, to see with your hope and faith, to see your kingdom coming. Help us to live as part of your kingdom, and by doing so, participate in its building here on earth. And so it is with both humility and the bold hope that you have given us, that we offer our prayers to you, our Creator, saying, "Let your kingdom come." Creator God, we thank you for your good creation. You created the earth and everything in it and called it good. What is more, you called us to be partners in your creation, to care for it and grow it. There have been times and places where we have lived up to this calling. There have been times and places, there have been four more where we have failed in it, thinking not of the good future of generations or indeed of the earth itself, but only of our own short-sighted needs and gains. We repent of the ways we have turned away from our role as stewards and damaged the world you have given us. Thank you that this is not the end of the story. You have promised to renew all things, and so we know that your good creation will be fully good again. Help us to live in that promise, live in that reality, looking forward to your renewed creation. Show us how we can partner in your good work. And this we pray to you, Creator, saying, "Let your kingdom come." Holy Spirit, we give thanks for your church around the world. We think especially of our Catholic siblings who have a new pope, Leo XIV. We ask that you bless him with wisdom and love. In our parish cycle of prayer, we lift up to you the parish of Mattawa, St. Albans Mattawa, St. Margaret's Brother Glenn, and the Reverend David Shields, as well as the Right Reverend Susan Bell, the Most Reverend Colin Johnson, and the clergy and people of the Diocese of Niagara. Closer to home, we pray for Anne, our Metropolitan and Acting Primate, for Shane, our Bishop, and Gary, our Rector. We thank you for all who lead here at St. John's, remembering especially Alan, Christina, and Pat, Barb and Monica, and Nick. We ask that you would grant them peace, rest, courage, passion, wisdom, and vision to see the world as you see it. This we pray to you, Holy Spirit, saying, "Let your kingdom come." Lord Jesus, there are so many ways we can serve you here in our community, so many ways we can show your love and compassion to our neighbors. Let us be a place of still waters and green pastures for those who need it. Let us see you in the face of each person we meet, knowing that they are a sibling who we will see again at the resurrection. We think especially of the staff and clients at Belong Ottawa, asking that you would bless them with peace that passes understanding and knowledge of your presence in their lives. We pray for an end to poverty, to addiction, to food insecurity, to homelessness, to domestic violence, and to so many other things that cause pain and suffering here in Centertown. Help us to believe that these things can and will be overcome, and show us how to be part of that overcoming. This we pray in your name, Jesus, praying, "Let your kingdom come." Father, you made us siblings to live in peace and love with one another, but the world is full of people doing just the opposite. We continue in the ways of war, of power over, of hoarding resources at the expense of others. But once again, we know that this is not the end. We know that your kingdom is a place where swords will be beaten into plowshares, where people will hunger and thirst no more, and you will wipe away every tear from every eye. Help us to live in the truth of your kingdom, here and not yet fully here. Help us to live in a way that reveals your kingdom to those who cannot yet see it for themselves. We lift up to you those in leadership over the places in which we live. Mark, our Prime Minister, Doug and Francois, our Premiers, Mark and Maud, our Mayors, Give them the vision, wisdom, and compassion to lead us well, and give us the courage to speak truth to those in power when the situation requires it. This we ask of you, Father, saying, let your kingdom come. While your creation remains broken, sickness and pain are inevitable in this life. And so we lift up to you, Lord, all those who are sick or suffering in body, mind, or spirit, particularly those we mention now. May you grant them healing from their illness, relief from pain and fear, and knowledge that you are with them. This we pray in your name, Lord Jesus, saying, let your kingdom come. For those we love, but whom death has taken from us. Father, though we know the separation of death to be temporary, it is nevertheless a painful one. And so we lift up to you those who have died and those who mourn. In particular, remember Jesse and John Maxwell, in whose memory the flowers are given this week by their children, Jane and Sue Maxwell, as well as all those we mention now. Thank you that our love for them, though great, is small compared to yours, and grant us comfort as we wait to see them again when we all, like Tabitha, rise. This is what we ask of you, Father, saying, let your kingdom come. God, we live in a time of now and not yet, of promises fulfilled and not yet fully realized. Help us to see your kingdom and live as part of it, to choose hope and love over fear and violence, to choose joy in the light of your love for us. All this we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
As our Savior taught us, let us pray. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. The blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and strengthen you and keep you today and always. Amen.
Thank you. to love and serve the Lord.